Okay, open your Bibles to the next to the last book in the Bible, the New Testament. That'll be the little book of Jude, one chapter. And we're going to just have to abbreviate a little bit. I want to get you to think on a subject that the ladies will understand here a little bit. Somebody gave us a coffee cup at home. It's a good-sized cup, well-decorated. I had not paid it all that much attention, and somebody got it out, and it was sitting on the breakfast table yesterday morning. On the side of the cup, there's a lot of road signs, detours, highway numbers like 301 or Route 66 or Highway 27 or something. But the caption caught my eye. And the caption said something like this: how many roads must a man go down before he admits he's lost? Now that's, I'm sure a lady decorated that cup. I'm sure of that. Because they understand exactly what that means. It means the rascal won't stop and ask directions. That's the interpretation of it. And we men are that way. We really are. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but we've been there, haven't we? I remember coming back from somewhere up around Charlotte, North Carolina, several years ago, and making good time, but it dawned on me, this is not the right direction. She was sitting over there. I went 20 miles trying to figure out how I'm going to keep her from knowing. If I'd have turned around when that first hit me, it'd have been bad enough. Finally, I had to admit I am going the wrong direction. But you know what? We don't like to do that, do we? We just don't like to do that. It's a little thing, fellas, called pride. First, it's denial. No, I'm going right. And then it gets to be a pride thing that we don't want it to admit. And I'm going to get you to look in this little book of Jude. And I can't spend much time on the context. Jude is telling us here in the purpose of writing here in verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, not a faith, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He goes on to warn about certain ones creeping in to deceive. And then if I drop you over to verse 11, in this one little chapter here, boy, it's a packed full book. It's a tremendous book. And Jude don't pull any punches. He really gets right to it. But in verse 11, he says, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Talking about these deceivers. Now watch it in verse 11. Three names. The way of Cain. Cain is in the Bible. And it says, and after the error of Balaam, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. What you got here is you got three names, and every one of these three names was a fellow that went his own way instead of God's way. And we have that tendency. Did anybody ever hear Frank Sinatra, one of his songs, they said that he sang it at his funeral, I done it my way. Well, I wouldn't want to trust his way. He's continually experiencing the end of the way that was his way instead of God's way. And there's a real big danger in that, that we got to be careful about it, because born into this depraved, fallen nature we have, we don't like to be told we're wrong. We just have this old thing about it. Bible says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And you trace it far enough back, and the devil himself fell because of his pride. And we still have to look out for that today. Now, the trouble is it can be very serious. We can joke about it. My wife, by the way, ladies, whoever invented the GPS was on your side. Yeah. Do you ever notice it's a woman's voice on that thing? Amen. It's like you got two of them over now to argue with you. And I'll be honest, thank God for them most of the time. But I have seen both of them to be wrong, too. And then I am sort of elevated over that. But anyway, but the truth is we don't like to be told that we're wrong. Now, pride gets into it. Some older hunters were coming out of the woods. The day was ending. They were walking back to camp. And this is a true story now. And they saw a young man. He kind of crossed paths with them, and they could see by the look on his face, as soon as he burst into the open, that he was panicky, that he was scared. And one of the older hunters said to him, said, son, are you lost? It was getting dark, and are you lost? And the young man said, no, 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 no. But the hunters walked on, and one of them said to the other one, said, kind of glance over your shoulder, that kid's following us back there. He was lost, but he didn't want to admit it. Didn't want to admit it. You know what the biggest thing today with men, and when I say men, I'm talking about men and women, the biggest thing is everybody wants to figure their own way. They don't want to go God's way. They want to invent their own. And they go into denial, and then they get proud about it. And that's one of the devil's biggest tools. And so you have here, and I'm especially parking a little bit on the first name in verse 11, Cain. You remember the story of Adam and Eve being expelled from the garden after the fall and sin. You remember also the boys that was born to them, Cain and Abel. Do you understand why Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel? First murder in the Bible. Why did he do that? Because God approved of Abel's sacrifice and not Cain. See, Cain wanted to do it his way. God had already taught him. I mean, he taught him when he slew the animals and clothed mom and dad, Adam and Eve. God said, here's the way. Blood's got to be shed to bring in the atonement, to bring in redemption. And but Cain had a better way. And so all through the Bible and through history, sometime you'll hear reference made to the way of Cain. And the way of Cain was trying to circumvent what God had said was right and do it his own way. And folks, we haven't changed any. We look around out there today, and we got so many people trying to tell you which way to go. We got the politicians, boy, they're in the prime. I'm telling you, you can't hardly catch nothing else on TV. And they're all saying my way's better than his way. But we've heard all that before, haven't we? And a whole lot of stuff hadn't changed. Man's way may be his own opinion, but you better make sure it's God's way, especially when you're considering whether you're going to wind up, where you're going to end up at the end of the road. That's the thing that counts. Of course it is. And nothing is any more true than in religion. Religion has got all kind of ways, but God only has one way. And that's the difference. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, straight is the gate that you enter in. But he says, to be careful, because broad is the way, and many go in thereat. He compares the broad way to the narrow way. Now, the narrow way is the Jesus way. The broad way is everything man can invent. And all kind of different things. And some of you, like I was, I did not meet the Lord Jesus Christ till I was 22 years old, heard the gospel for the first time. I had learned something in that period of time, was a lot of the ways I'd tried didn't work. All the ideas I had washed out, and I had come to a conclusion by the time I went to church and heard the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, I had come to a conclusion there was no hope for me because I'd tried and failed at everything I had tried to be good. I couldn't be good. Yeah, I remember. My folks were not church-going folks, good moral folks. My mother quoted the Bible a lot, like a lot of folks do today. Stuff that's not in it. And that still goes on today. One of the things she often said was, all right, you boys, talking about Harvey and I, there's two of us, and we were always in trouble. He always led me in trouble, though he was younger than me. I'm joking at him some, but truth of the matter is that we give Mama a lot of trouble. Daddy was away working a lot, but we gave her a lot of trouble, and she was a temperamental little lady that whatever thought went through her mind, she used it. And she would say this to us. She'd say, and I was the older, so she's mainly talking to me. She'd say, all your sins now are on me. But when you get 12 years old, God is going to put them on you. Now, that's not in the Bible. But she said it enough, I thought it was. And if you look at this building right up here near the Mission Gauge, the old hotel that we've turned into the college radio station and girls' dorm, we live right behind that thing in the little house that the church owns there now. We've turned it into a dorm there behind the college. We lived in one side of that house that had a living room which served as also as a bedroom. Then it had a bedroom, then it had a kitchen. And that was it. But anyway, I can show you right where the bed was and remember laying there that night dreading to wake up as a 12-year-old the next day. I was fixing to become 12. I didn't want to. I was scared to death. But I made up my mind that morning, actually before I went to sleep that night. Fun is over. I can't disobey Mama no more. From here on, I got to live perfect. That was the way I thought she was saying. And I woke up scared to death, but boy, I tried to take out the garbage before she asked. I let my brother get by with some stuff I never would have let him got by with. I was trying my best to live perfect, but before dark, I came to a conclusion, I blown it. There ain't no way I can do it. That way is not gonna work. And you know what I'd done? I'd prove what the Bible says. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Bible says all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. I proved in me and my strength, my way wouldn't work. I couldn't even hold it a day, much less a lifetime. And yet you got a lot of folks today picked out their way, and they're too proud to admit they're going the wrong way. They're in denial, and they won't turn loose of it. It's really crazy. I've told our folks this before, because it happened probably less than 2 years, about 2 years ago. I forget where, somewhere up north, I'd been up preaching. And I got on the airplane to fly back to Orlando. It was a full plane. And I had my boarding pass. And I went and picked out the number of my seat, but somebody was sitting in it. And the plane was full. I looked at it. I checked it. And so I spoke to the man in the seat. I said, I believe you're in the wrong seat. He said, no, this is my seat. I said, well, something's wrong because this is the seat my boarding pass shows. And he said, no, this is my seat. I said, would you look at your boarding pass? No. No, he's hostile about it. The man sat inside of him said to him, said, you might ought to look. No, it's my seat. Well, I wanted to get home, so I called the stewardess. And she came over. She looked at the seat number, looked at my boarding pass, and she said, "Sir, I want to see your boarding pass." He finally produced it, but he was hostile about it. And she said, "Sir, not only is this not your seat, you're on the wrong plane." Now, here's what happened. I am not stretching this a bit. He got up in a huff, and he's, you know, hey, narrow aisles, you got to turn. And as he squeezed by me, you know what he said to me? He said, "I didn't have any trouble till you showed up." Isn't that something? That plane was going to take him to Florida whether he wanted to go or not. He was in the wrong seat on the wrong plane, but he didn't want to be corrected. Didn't want to be corrected. Now, I want to make the application, folks. There's a lot of folks want to go to heaven, but they're on the wrong road. They're on the wrong plane. They're trying their way and not God's way. And that's such a shame, isn't it? Such a shame. Very true. And sad thing is, the way of Cain didn't work out. Now, you know what God did? He let Cain know it was the wrong way. And told Cain if he'd bring the right offering, he'd be accepted. But Cain didn't do it. Instead, he lashed out in anger and killed his brother, who had done nothing wrong other than just producing the offering God told him to bring. Abel had done the right thing, the right way. Cain was doing it his way. So here you read the terminology, the way of Cain, the way of Cain. All these three men in verse 11 tried their own way. Balaam, he tried to make money off of religion. He wanted to curse Israel, and God wouldn't let him. And then Kor, he second-guessed Moses, remember? His way, and Moses' way was God's way, but Kor didn't want to go God's way. Now, we need to learn from this. We need to say, "Lord, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to be in denial. I'm not going to let my pride keep me from doing right." Now, when you get to the New Testament, you find out that God tells you what the right way is. It's not one way to choose from. Jesus said, and this is what the Lord Jesus said, John 14:6, "I am the way, the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto me but by the cometh unto the Father but by me." I am the way, the truth, the life. Somebody says, you hear everything. And yeah, you can hear everything in religion. The devil uses no other tool anymore than he uses religion. People think, if I just join the right church, that'll take me there. No, it won't. That's the wrong way. People think, if I go to the right man, he can forgive my sins. No, he can't. See, your sin is against the Father, God. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law, God's law. So why would I go to get somebody else to forgive me when I have broken God's law? And I can't get into heaven unless that law has been kept by my substitute, and Jesus became that substitute. So he is the way. He died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price we couldn't pay. And when you hear the gospel, it is the good news that Jesus tells you the right way. Admit you're a sinner. Don't be in denial. Admit your way is wrong. And if you'll do that and turn and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and let him pave the way, buy your ticket to heaven, pay off your sins. You know what's so good about knowing the Lord, as you heard him singing this morning? I'm trusting what he did, not what I can do. I learned a long time ago what I can do. I couldn't even live one good day when I was 12 years old. But Jesus lived all my days for me in perfection. And I have that forgiveness by the Father, because when he sees the Son, he sees him as perfect, and I'm in him, so my sins have been paid for. You see, you go all the way back to Cain and Abel again, and the blood of the lamb was what God had told them to bring, and that's what Abel brought, and he had forgiveness. You see, life comes from God, and that lamb was from God. Cain wanted to produce his own works. He cultivated his garden. He brought his fruits in, but that was his way, not the way God told him. I ask you today, be real careful in your heart. Which way are you following? Which way are you following? Are you like the man on the plane? You don't want somebody to disturb you, you're going to get mad about it. Well, he said my church won't take me to heaven. I'll tell you, nobody's church will take you to heaven. You say, he told me I couldn't be good enough to get to heaven. That's right, nobody can. Don't get mad at me, you're sitting in the wrong seat, going the wrong way. And the truth of the matter is that you need to go God's way. He provided it. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I ask you today, look deep in your heart, and maybe just simple thought here, simple thought. How many roads do you have to go down before you admit you're lost? Good question. Am I on the right plane, in the right seat? Jesus, he's the plane, he's the seat, he's the right road, he's the right way. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads. Father, bless this morning, the preaching service to come, the singing. We've already enjoyed the fellowship of your people and the message and song, and help each one listening today to think and be honest and not in denial and not let pride trip them up, to examine what they're trusting to end up right in heaven. Help them, Lord, not to trust the wrong way, their way.